Hi, this is Sean Sutner, news and feature writer for Search Health IT. I'm here with Hamid Tabatabai, co-founder and executive vice president of Life Image, a medical image exchange company. We're going to talk about medical image sharing, interoperability and the lack thereof, and other medical imaging IT issues. Thanks for talking with us, Hamid.
Good morning. Thank you.
So, Hamid, how do healthcare providers share complex medical images such as CT scans, MRIs, and ultrasounds now? And what are the problems with conventional approaches, and how do new technologies attack those challenges?
Unfortunately, the great majority of imaging information that needs to go from one point to another is still being transported via CD or DVD. Most of the time, the patients themselves are the carriers. The fortunate part of that is that there's a lot of work that have gone into the compatibility of the file formats. The standard called DICOM that came about sometime in the mid-80s and got better as time went by allows one facility's CT to have files produced that can be consumed by another facility, either by a radiologist or any kind of image-intensive specialist that wants to view those images. I don't know the exact numbers, but I would imagine it's north of 80% of the images that need to go from one point to another are still using portable media to go across. And the way to solve the problem tends to be using technologies that, by and large, is called image sharing. Now, image sharing means a lot of different things to different people, but you can have point-to-point capabilities, which uses some traditional vendors and technologies to get data from point A to point B. The downside of that is that you have to set up these point-to-point relationships in advance, and many times you need to get engaged with someone that you need to set up a relationship on demand. So that's the downside of point-to-point. The more modern approaches, those that we use, and we have been a pioneer in this area, are the one-to-many, many-to-one capabilities that allows very much the ability to on-demand share the data from point of origin to any destination that's required, and then have the sophistication to normalize the data, make it part of that organization's medical record system, and ingest it into the normal workflow of physicians. So that's a more modern approach that's starting to become mainstream.
Okay, so Hamid, if it's true that a well-designed vendor-neutral archives, VNA or PACS system, allows providers such as large academic medical centers to quickly retrieve medical images and share them within their systems, how can VNAs or PACS from different provider systems speak to each other?
Well, there's a problem with a VNA is that it needs to be deterministic and participation in it needs to be managed in advance, meaning if you and I are trying to share imaging exams together through a VNA, we need to have decided that we're going to save our imaging data onto that common platform, whichever vendor's platform it is, and then you and I can both have access to it. In the modern medical environment, patients move around, and not just because of their geography, not because they travel. Particularly with the onset of the reform in medicine, the healthcare reform, patients can go across the boundaries of traditional healthcare providers. So the next time patients' images are needed someplace, there's no telling whether or not that entity has been part of that VNA or not. So to begin with, it is a fallacy that VNA allows image sharing. VNA is a phenomenal technology for accumulating both radiological and non-radiological imaging in one environment that can be shared with participating hospitals that have all decided to use the same environment. But as soon as you move away from the participants and you need to share with anyone on demand, then the VNA layer isn't the layer that can be used or is not the layer that is the right layer to use. Am I answering your question?
Yes, yes, very much so. So Hamid, let's talk a little bit about interoperability now. That's an issue you're closely involved with the Care Quality Sequoia Project Steering Committee. Now, we know that ONC, the Federal Health IT Agency, has issued a 10-year interoperability roadmap. So what year would you say medical imaging is at on a 1 to 10 scale in terms of interoperability? And what are the biggest obstacles to interoperability of medical images and the best way to overcome them?
It's a great question. If I were to spell out the 10-year agenda, and that says the first 3 years, it's send, receive, find, and use health information, certainly health care with image sharing capabilities is already at that point. So we're certainly past the year three point. The 6-year agenda says use information to improve healthcare and lower cost. We are, with image sharing, well within that range. We're showing cost savings on a daily basis, whether it's avoiding duplication of imaging or it's informing the right orders for the right imaging exams. So I would say we're somewhere in the 5 and 6 area. Then the 10-year agenda is to have a learning system that has a public health component to it, that you can access anybody's data from anywhere. We're not there with image sharing, certainly. And what I think it takes to get there is first the non-imaging component interoperability has to be done. Images and imaging interoperability cannot run ahead of the EMR in order to gain the last ounce of goodness out of the 10-year plan. So first you have to figure out how the patient IDs are mapped across the boundaries of different enterprises. Second, you have to figure out how EMRs can play a role in sharing images, and then they tap into the image sharing networks and facilitate the sharing. So I would say we're in the 6, mile marker 6, and it will take the EMR interoperability. That's why the Sequoia project is so important to us. That's why the Commonwealth Alliance is important to the industry. Once those gain more momentum, we can get to 7 and 8 on image sharing.
Sure, thank you for that. So Hamid, what are the differences between sort of cloud-based peer-to-peer image sharing networks or point-to-point image networks and, let's say, enterprise-based image sharing pipelines?
Sure. The point-to-point typically requires either end of the communication to deploy the same types of technologies or even the exact kind of technologies. So you typically will have brand A PACs talking to an agent of the brand A PACs or another brand A PACs, and they use some kind of VPN to communicate back and forth. And that's an older style teleradiology approach. Teleradiology has been in place for 30 years. As you would imagine, radiologists are all over the place and they need to have access to images wherever they've been captured. So this approach has been in place and it's tried and true. The problem with it is it's very deterministic, as we were talking about before. It requires vendor compatibility, if not the same brand. And it differs from enterprise-wide image sharing in that you cannot create endpoints on demand. You cannot accept data from outside without setting up accounts and provisioning capabilities in advance. And you in an enterprise-grade image sharing, you don't require the same brand. As long as you have compatibilities with standards that govern image sharing, you can share between vendor A and vendor B.
Okay, so can you just drill down a little bit and talk a little bit about cloud versus enterprise approaches to healthcare image exchange?
Cloud in general is giving an opportunity to all application providers to have a number of characteristics. One is scalability. It basically means you can have an elastic ability to scale for many users and many, many megabytes and gigabytes of data, and you can scale on demand. You don't have to upgrade your infrastructure. You don't have to add additional capabilities. That's one characteristic of cloud. Second is that it's managed. It means the participants and users don't have to worry about the care and feeding of it. And its reliability and its service level agreements are set, and it's clear what the expectations can be. And another characteristic of a cloud can be its multi-tenancy, which means it's same piece of software being used by multiple different organizations or multiple different people. And once it's upgraded, everyone gets to experience the new capabilities and or enhancements. And you don't have to go around upgrading various versions for different users.
Okay, so that's great. Couple more questions. How do small and medium-sized hospitals and large academic medical centers' needs differ for sharing medical images?
As you would imagine, medical images are typically shared upstream and downstream from a patient's diagnosis. When I go to my primary care physician and complain about my knee, and the second or the third time that it looks like there may be something wrong, they order an imaging exam. Should the report come back that there is indeed a problem, they refer me upstream to a specialist of some sort. And the imaging needs of larger centers of excellence, academic medical centers, downtown hospitals, emergency rooms, are different than smaller facilities in that they house many more specialists typically. So what we call image intensivists, whether it's oncology, cardiology, neurology, ophthalmology, on and on, they tend to have higher volumes of incoming patients and referrals, so their need for scalability is different. Two, they typically have a difference, between the type of EMR or the type of internal applications that are used by the clinical providers at larger facilities than the smaller ones, so the integration needs can be different. Three, the volume of exams that happen inside those facilities are typically much larger in larger settings. A larger academic medical center can do somewhere in the 600,000 to a million radiological exams or imaging exams a year, versus a small facility can do either none or as few as several hundred imaging exams a year. So the type of on-premise access to imaging data is very different in the scalability and throughput requirements.
Oh, okay. So let's conclude with this question. What standards are needed to move imaging data use and exchange into the future?
We've had a standard called DICOM that deals with imaging files and imaging communication for some time. There are some modern versions coming out called DICOM Web. There needs to be improvements done in that arena. Second, I think it's important to have standards governing registration of data so we know where the data exists and we can get it on demand instead of having to necessarily pool the data in the middle for sharing purposes. So it's a difference between iTunes versus Napster. do you put everything up in the middle and share from there? Or Napster style, do you leave things at the edges and you go get them when you need them? So standards around the ability to do either or are necessary. Finally, standards for talking between the imaging component and the rest of the electronic medical record. And those are the interoperability for workflow purposes, and it allows medical record vendors that have a lot more details to resolve in how they talk amongst themselves to resolve the cross-talking between one medical record vendor and another one. And imaging components just follow suit.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Hamid. That was a really stimulating discussion. Thanks for being here today with Search Health IT.